Good morning, and a warm welcome to the service this morning. A special welcome to those who are visiting. We've got a few visitors with us, and you're very welcome. Also, we have some people who've been away for a long time and who are back for the first time in a long while, so it's good to have those back in the building with us too, and not forgetting those who are not in the building, but those who are tuning in online. It's good for us to be able to come together and to worship God in this way. A couple of intimations. Firstly, just to remind you that the service this evening is a Gaelic service. It's our monthly Gaelic service. That's at 6 o'clock tonight, and Hamish Taylor will be taking that service, so be encouraged to come along to that. There's no YF for the next few weeks. There might be one YF kind of midway through the summer holidays, but you'll be told of that. But there's no YF tonight, as it's the holidays. And we have the prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7:30 on Zoom. So be encouraged to come along to that also. One further intimation, and that's to say that tomorrow from 11 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there'll be soup and sandwiches and toasties, filled cold rolls, home baking. And that's going to be served from Island Bites, and all the proceeds from that will go to Women for Mission. So if you can maybe go and have your lunch or your coffee or whatever at the Island Bites tomorrow, the funds raised will go to a good cause, and we're thankful for Tini and Russell making the van available for that. These, I think, are all the intimations. Let's just in a moment stand as we sing to God's praise, and we're going to sing from Mission Praise 296, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvellous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, how marvellous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. So we're still wearing masks, unfortunately, for a wee while, but we can sing out to God's praise in this hymn.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song.
Okay, boys and girls and everyone else, let's close our eyes and let's bow our heads and let's speak to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that this day we're able to come and stand in the presence of the risen Saviour. We thank you that we have been singing about Jesus. And we thank you that it's the name of Jesus that we want to see and hear lifted up as we come together today. And we thank you that we have the promise in the Bible that where even two or three of us meet together in the name of Jesus, he will be here in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we thank you that the words that we've been singing are true. We can stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. And yet, Lord, we know that we are sinners. We know our hearts are dark. We know that we sin in the things that we do and say and think. We know that we sin in the things that we should do and we don't do. And we pray, Lord, that as we confess these sins, as we tell you about these sins, we pray that you would wash us clean, that the uncleanness of our hearts would be washed away by the blood of Jesus. We thank you for all that Jesus did for us that we sang of. We read there and we sang about Gethsemane, where Jesus was thinking about the cross and where the weight of all our sin was on him so much that the sweat that came from his face was like drops of blood because he was under so much pressure. And yet we thank you that he carried on to the cross because he loved us. We thank you that Jesus laid down his life on the cross. He died so that our sins could be forgiven and so that we could have everlasting life. And we thank you that it's true that there's coming a time where we can go to glory and we will be like Jesus if we are trusting in him. And so we pray that every one of us today, the boys and girls and the older ones as well, we pray that all of us would be trusting in Jesus, not trusting in ourselves, not trusting in the things that we do. We know that they can't save us. We can't save ourselves. We pray that our faith would be in Jesus, and we thank you that even the faith that saves us is a gift from God. So give that to us, we pray, so that as we hear the message of the gospel again this morning, we would be able to take hold of it and believe and know that we are safe in and through Jesus. So we pray for all of us who are here in the building. We pray for those who are at home as well. We ask that you would bless each of us. You know what's going on in our heads and our hearts and our houses. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us. We pray for those who are struggling just now. We think of Myrtle Farracher's auntie Myrit, Cathy Ann's sister, who's been in hospital the last few days and who's having an operation right now, I think. We pray that you would be with the surgeons and the medical people, that they would be given all the skill that they need to do what they need to do. And we pray that she would know that you are close to her and the whole family would know your love for them at this time. And for others who are sick, some in hospital, some in homes, some at home, we pray that you would be close to them and that they would know your healing and that they would know your comfort. We pray for those who are sad. We remember those who miss loved ones, as we do every week. And we pray that you would be near to them and that you would support them through difficult times. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who is always with us. We thank you for summer holidays. We pray that in the summer holidays, the boys and girls especially would have a good time, that they would know that you're close to them, that they would spend time in the Bible listening to what you're saying to them, that they would spend time praying. We pray that you would keep them safe and that they would have lots of fun. And we pray now that as we open the Bible, that you would open our ears and open our eyes and open our hearts, that we may see and hear and know the presence of Jesus with us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Boys and girls, are you well today? You got good voices today? Are you going to speak to me today?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah.
That's better. That's better. And it's the summer holidays now. Are you excited about that?
Well, tomorrow's the start of
the summer. Oh, technical objection there on technical grounds. It's not yet the summer holidays. The summer holidays don't technically start until tomorrow morning, so none has been wasted so far. We're still in school term time. Holidays begin tomorrow morning. Thank you for that word of encouragement, Michael. Now, I want to start this morning by showing you something, and it's going to be on the screen, but I'll show you a bottle of it as well. What's that? Do everybody know what that is? Yeah? You can shout out and tell me. It's Coca-Cola, isn't it? It's Coca-Cola. And this is a bottle of the stuff. It says, original taste since 1886. So it's quite an old recipe, even older than some of the oat cake recipes from Harris. I've got a box with four of these, yeah. So this is a bottle of Coke. And then see on the advert there, when I was thinking back to when I was remembering Coke from when I was younger, there was a slogan. You know what slogans are? You know, people like Nike. What's the slogan for Nike? It's just do it. And the slogan for Coke was, and I think it still is, well, can you see it? Can you see it? What does it say? It's the real thing. That's the message that they're wanting to get over to us. This Coca-Cola, it's the real thing. That's the message that they want us to learn. This stuff here, it's the real thing. There's no other drink better than this one. That's what they're saying to us. There's nothing tastier. There's nothing better. Nothing else comes close. This is the real thing. It's what they want to tell you. But you know what happened the other day? At the football. In the Euros. Who's been watching the football? Yeah? And did you see what happened the other day with Coca-Cola? Well, I'll tell you a little bit and then you can jump in. There was an interview with a famous football player, probably one of the best players in the world. Do you know his name?
Ronaldo.
You know the story. Ronaldo. And the camera was set up and he was going to answer the questions and he sat down to answer the questions and just in front of him was two bottles of Coca-Cola. What happened next?
He pushes them
right out of the way. We're going to watch it, I think, on the screen. So let's just watch the screen. This is what happens.
Coca-Cola.
Boa tarde a todos, querido.
What happened there? Do you think Coca-Cola were happy about that? Probably not. I think their share price went rocketing down. I can't remember how many million they lost in 2 seconds. But what was the message that Ronaldo was trying to get over to us when he was doing that? John Roddy? Well, yeah, he was saying water is better, yeah. And what was he saying about Coke? He was saying it's not the best thing. He took the stuff and he moved it to the side and he was really saying the opposite of what the slogan was saying. He was saying, Coke is not the real thing. They might tell you that it's tasty, they might tell you that it's the best thing. But the message that they're trying to say to you, that's what Ronaldo was saying, is false. The message that they're trying to get through to you, it's not a true message, it's fake. That's what he was saying. Now, why on earth am I telling you this? It's probably what you're thinking. Well, I'm telling you this because it helps us to get our minds and our tongues loosened up to speak. And I want to read now, I want to, Alistair actually to read a little bit of the Bible where Jesus, he's speaking to some people called the Pharisees. You heard of the Pharisees? What do you know about the Pharisees? Michael? They thought they were the best Christians. Yeah. That's one good thing. That's one thing about the Pharisees. They did. They thought they were the best. They thought God thought that they were better than any other people. It was one of the things about the Pharisees. They were trying to show themselves up to be the most holy men out there. And yet Jesus, he sees them, he speaks to one of them, and you know what he says to them? Well, he says pretty much, Pharisees, you're not the real thing. You're not the real thing. You're pretending on the outside, but on the inside, something different's going on. So, we're going to hear Alistair reading just now from Luke chapter 11, verses 37 to verse 41. So Alistair, you can come up and read at the lectern where your dad was singing. So if you just read from that one there, that would be good. Thanks. Nice big loud voice.
Luke chapter 11.
You can take your thing down as well, because you're the boss just now for a minute.
Luke chapter 11, verses 37 to 41. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. Then the Lord said to him, Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, is not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you.
Thank you, Alistair. So we're going to keep that in our minds, and we're going to think about that for the next few minutes. But before we go on to the next bit, we're going to sing. So we'll sing again. The words are going to be on the screen in just a wee minute. We don't have the words in the books. And it's the hymn, Our Sins They Are Many, His Mercy, Jesus' Mercy Is More. So we're going to stand to sing in just a moment.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, we heard the passage that Alistair read, and there's three short lessons that come from that this morning. And the first lesson that Jesus teaches the Pharisees, and he teaches us, is he gives us a lesson in hand washing. So first point, we have a lesson in hand washing. Now, put your hand up if you've had anybody telling you over the last year how to wash your hands. Are we sick of hearing how to wash our hands? What are the rules for hand washing? Can anybody tell me? Yeah, speak out loud, Michael. That's exactly it. They're very complicated.
Soft dry hands.
What's that? Soft?
Soap, hands.
Yeah, it's very, very complicated. Very complicated. I remember when I was a wee boy, all you had to do to wash your hands was put them under the cold tap for 1 millisecond. But since COVID, we're having to do all this stuff, and they're saying you take the water and you do that, and then you do this and you do that, and you're turning around and twisting. You look like you're breakdancing with your hands. It's very complicated, and it's quite easy to get wrong, isn't it? Teachers are always saying, did you wash your hands properly? Because you've got to do it the proper way. Now, in the passage that Alistair read, what was Jesus doing? Did you pick that up? What was he doing? He got invited to go somewhere. What for? Lois? Yeah, it was lunch. The word that's used doesn't say it in the text, but he was asked out in the middle of the day for some lunch with this Pharisee. And we've said a little about who the Pharisees were, so we know what kind of people they're like. And so this man, he asks Jesus for lunch. Lunch is prepared. Before you have your lunch, you had to wash your hands. And they had special rules for washing their hands. So this Pharisee, he's got his glasses on, the tuna sandwiches are out on the table or whatever, and he's watching Jesus. Is he going to wash his hands? Is he going to wash them right? And this is what it says in verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. And so he's watching. Is Jesus, is he going to wash his hands correctly? And if you think our rules for washing hands are complicated, do you want to hear the rules that the Pharisees had for washing hands? No? Yes? Let me read you just a few lines out of the rule book that they had for washing hands. It was a book called the Mishnah. And if you don't understand this, don't worry. I'm just reading this out to show that none of us understand it. This is what it says. The hands are susceptible to uncleanness, and they are rendered clean by the pouring over them with water up to the wrist. Thus, if a man had poured the first water up to the wrist and the second water beyond the wrist, and the water flowed back to the hand becomes clean. You following? No. But if he poured the first water and the second beyond the wrist and the water flowed back to the hand remains unclean. Pardon? If he poured the first water over the one hand alone and then bethought himself and poured the second water over the other hand, his one hand alone is clean. If he had poured the water over the one hand and rubbed it on the other, it becomes unclean, but if he rubbed it on his head or on the wall, it remains clean. What on earth was all that about? Did you follow it? First water and second water and wrists and heads and hands and walls. It's a lot of complicated rules for hand washing.
There's nothing to do with walls and hand washing.
And you know how many rules Jesus kept on that day? Guess. How many of the rules did Jesus keep on that day for hand washing? John Roddy?
No.
Not one single one of them. In fact, it's not even that he didn't try hard to keep the rules. He didn't wash his hands at all. It says in verse 38, but the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before his meal, was surprised. And surprised didn't just mean kind of surprised. It meant surprised. You know, sometimes when you're in the classroom and you do something wrong, the teacher might say, I'm surprised at you. Of all people, John Roddy, I'm surprised at you. If your mother is a teacher and you haven't done your homework, I'm surprised at you. Or they might say, Jonathan and Michael, your dinner has not been eaten in the canteen, and your mother with one of the ladies who makes the dinner, and you haven't eaten it, I'm surprised at you. And the Pharisee, who was having lunch with Jesus, he was surprised at Jesus for not washing his hands, for not doing what their very complicated rule book said. So here's the question. Why did Jesus not wash his hands before lunch on that day, do you think? Any guesses? Well, I'll tell you. Jesus was giving this Pharisee a lesson on how to be clean. And Jesus was saying to this Pharisee, you think that water is going to make you clean. You think all this stuff with your hands is going to make you clean. But it takes more than water and soap to be clean in the eyes of God. Water and soap doesn't take the stain of sin away. And boys and girls, you know that, don't you? Don't you?
Yeah.
You know that water and soap doesn't take sin away, don't you?
Yeah.
So what does take sin away?
Jesus.
Jonah?
Jesus.
And Jesus, what do we have at communion time? Do you remember? We have bread and we have wine. And what does the wine remind us of? Lois? Or let's have one of the girls here. What does the wine remind us of? Kate and Warragh or Sean? The blood of Jesus. And that's what makes our hearts clean. Not soap, not water, but the blood of Jesus. We're going to sing in just a second. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's the lesson that the Pharisee needed to see and believe. The Pharisee thought that all the things that he was doing could make him clean. But the truth was that he and we can only become clean. We can only have our sins washed away. Not by what we do, but by what Jesus has already done. And what did Jesus do for us? Where did he go to wash away our sin? Caitlin? He went to the cross to wash away our sin. He shed his blood for us so that when we believe in him, we can be washed in that blood and our hearts can be made clean. So, let's sing about that now. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole?
Snow, no.
So Jesus' first lesson from that lunch was a lesson in what? Do you remember? A lesson in? Lois? A lesson in hand washing. And the second thing that Jesus teaches the Pharisee in this lunch is a lesson in dishwashing. He teaches the Pharisee a lesson in dishwashing. Now put your hand up if you've got a dishwasher in your house. And don't say mum. Yeah? Now, for those who have a dishwasher in the house, tell me this. Does it always clean your dishes properly? What do you think? Carl? Does it always clean your dishes properly? You must stack it right then. You can come to my house. Sometimes the dishes that come out of our dishwasher are not clean. One of my pet hates is when the dishwasher is not stacked properly, and then when the cups come out, they're not clean on the inside. This cup here, can you see it? Does it look clean? Yeah? It looks clean on the outside, doesn't it? But do you think it's clean on the inside? Callum, you can see probably clearly. Does that look clean on the inside? It does not. Can you see it? And let me get this off my chest. This came out of the dishwasher this morning. This cup. Clean on the outside. On the inside, it's covered in, I think it's chocolate. But what a mess. One of the things I really hate most is when you're having a cup of tea and you're just having the last gulp of your cup of tea and you have the gulp and you think, what's that stuff? And then you look at the bottom of the cup and there's stewer from the dishwasher in the bottom of the cup that's ruined the cup of tea. It's no point in having a cup that's clean on the outside but it's dirty on the inside. And that's the lesson that Jesus was teaching this Pharisee and the experts in the law. Jesus said in verse 39 to the Pharisee, "Now then, you Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness." And Jesus was saying to them, your life is a bit like a dirty cup or a dirty plate that looks clean on the outside, but inside there's all kinds of mess going on. And we didn't read this, but you can look at it when you go home later. He says all these things to him in verse 42 onwards. He says things like, you know, you give all your stuff to the church and you make sure that everyone sees you doing it so they think that you're good. But all the poor people, you're not interested in them. And he says, you always go to church, verse 43, and you always want to sit in the best seats. There was top seats in the church. The VIP seats were at the front of the church and they weren't facing the Bible. They were facing out to the congregation, and they say, Jesus said, you always like these seats, so everyone will see that you're in the important seats. You can sit there with your serious faces on. Make everybody think that you're so good on the outside. And he says in verse 46, you love all your rules. You've got all your rule books, and you make everybody's lives so difficult with your rule book, but you never help anybody to keep the rules. You just like to push them down. He says, you talk about the prophets of God. This is 46 to 50. But you don't listen to them. You don't do what they say. And Jesus says, you're like cups and plates that look clean on the outside, but you're dirty on the inside. And so that was the lesson that Jesus was giving this Pharisee, a lesson in dishwashing. Now, what's this got to do with us, we might ask? And the answer is, it's got a whole lot to do with us. Because if we're honest, sometimes we try to look good on the outside when it's not real. It's not the real thing. Have you ever been in the class and the teacher looks at you and you make a nice smile and the teacher looks away and you turn to the person that you have an argument with and you go, you make a bad face. You're trying to say to the teacher, I'm very good. But when she looks away, not so much. Or maybe we're the kind of people who always say the right things when the grown-ups are listening. But when there's no grown-ups in the playground, when no one who's older is listening, there's swears being said. There's wild talking happening. You know, I heard of someone last week, and they were in their house, and they were talking to each other. It was a couple who were talking to each other, not from here. And they were speaking about somebody else in an unkind way. This is a true story. And Alexa, you know what Alexa is? You know Alexa that does all these things? The little electronic thing. Alexa, all of a sudden, Alexa chipped up and said, that's not very nice. That's true. They were talking in a way that wasn't very kind, and Alexa was listening and said, that's not very nice. What a fright they got. They switched Alexa right off. But we can't switch Jesus off. And he hears what we say. He even hears what we think. He sees what we do on the outside, but he sees who we are on the inside. He sees all the mess that we're able to hide from other people. And yet, you know the amazing thing? He still loves us. He sees it all. And yet he still loves us. And he tells us about the mess that he sees, not because he's trying to be cruel, but because he's being kind to us. And he wants us, as he shows us the mess of our own hearts, he wants us simply to say to him, help me, please, make me clean. Lord Jesus, you see the mess, but please make my heart clean. And there's a psalm that we're going to sing now, where we're given words, it's like a prayer, where we're asking the Lord to make us clean in our hearts. So Psalm 51, and we'll sing from verses 7 to verse 13. We'll stand to sing. Psalm 51, verses 7 to verse 13.
Do thou with his offspring come me, I shall. Whiter than the snow.
Listened very well. We've got one little short section to finish off. So we've got the three lessons, don't we? Jesus, he was having lunch with a Pharisee, and he gave him a lesson, first of all, in what? Washing your hands. Hand washing. And then lesson number two was a lesson in
dishwashers,
kind of. A lesson in dishwashing. And then the final thing that we have, which takes us to the heart of it all, is he gives us a lesson in heart washing. One of the things that you've been doing in school the last wee while is you were doing this challenge where you were making a robot out of Lego, I think. And then I think Angus MacDonald, Ian Murdoch's son, was doing coding. He did coding into this robot so that this robot could do all these different kinds of things. And that's something that's very useful in life. We sometimes have to do that in puzzle books as well. You write codes and then you crack codes. And through these codes, there's like secret messages that come through. So first you're thinking, I'm not sure what this is about. But then when you crack the code, you realise, there's a message here. And these lessons that Jesus gave over lunch about hand washing and about dishwashing, they weren't really lessons about washing our hands and washing dishes. I don't think Jesus' top priority is to teach us how best to wash our hands and how best to wash dishes. That was like a code. So what lesson do you think Jesus was really trying to teach us? There's a big question. What lesson do you think Jesus was really trying to teach us? Not a lesson about clean hands. Not a lesson about clean cups. But a lesson about clean what? Ailey? Clean hearts. That's exactly right. Jesus was teaching us about our hearts. And about how our hearts can become clean. And how can our hearts be made clean? You know the answer to this, tell me. How can our hearts be made clean? Miriam. Not Miriam, sorry, Emily. Trust in Jesus. That's right. What did Jesus do to make our hearts clean? We've said this already. Let's get this crystal clear in our minds. What did Jesus do to make our hearts clean? Miriam? He died on the cross to make our hearts clean. So here's the question for right here, right now, today, in your life and mine. What do we have to do to get Jesus' heart cleaning? What do we have to do to become Christians? Michael? Please forgive me. Is that what you said? That's the first thing. That's exactly where I was going. There's two things to remember for us this morning. Two very short things to do. To make our hearts clean, to become Christians. So these are really important things. Stay with me for the next 2 minutes. The first thing we do is we confess our sin. Do you know what the word confess means? It means just to own up. It means to do what Michael was saying there. We ask for Jesus to forgive our sins. We don't cover up our sins. We don't say, I'm not a sinner. Or we don't say, I'm not that bad. What we say is, Jesus, you know, what you said about my heart is absolutely right. My heart looks like that. My heart's full of all kinds of mess. We confess our sin. We tell Jesus about our sin in a prayer. We say to him, Lord, I'm a sinner in my heart. I know I am. Please forgive me. And he promises that when we pray like that, he'll forgive us. Lois is going to come up and read just two verses just now. So you can hear this from the Bible and not just from what I'm saying just now. Up you come, Lois. There you go. You can stand up there.
Chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Lewis. So how do we become Christians? First thing is, we confess our sin. We don't cover it up. We say to Jesus, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. And the second thing we do is we just come to Jesus. As Emily was saying a second ago, we trust in Jesus. You know, the Bible, the whole of the Bible is like God's letter to us. And he's saying to us over and over again, I love you, and I want you to come to me. So if we want to have clean hearts, if we want to be safe in this world, knowing that God is with us, if we want to be safe forever, knowing that we have a place in heaven, if we want to know for sure that we are Christians, we need to come to Jesus. Now the sad news, and I'm not going to tell you this one just now because I've run out of time. The sad news is that this Pharisee, he didn't come to Jesus. And so Jesus said to him over and over again, there's woe for you. There's sad things for you. Because you won't come to me. There's no heaven for you. Because you won't come to me. But the truth of the Bible is that if we come to Jesus, when we go from this world into eternity, we won't hear the words woe. We'll hear the words welcome. I've got a place for you because you trusted in me. So, boys and girls, confess our sin. Come to Jesus. And we have that promise forever. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this. We thank you for this bit of the Bible where we read about Jesus having lunch with the Pharisee. And we thank you for the lessons that Jesus teaches, the pictures that he paints about dishwashing and hand washing, and how he tells us about our own hearts and how our hearts need to be washed. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood was shed on the cross to make us clean. And we thank you that if we confess our sin and just say sorry for our sin and come to you in faith, you promise that you will make our hearts clean, that you will make us Christians. So we pray for the boys and girls, and we pray for the older ones here and those who might be listening at home. We pray that there would be none of us who are like the Pharisee who said, I don't want to hear any more of this. But we pray that all of us would admit that we are sinners and simply come to Jesus and say, save me. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you, boys and girls, for listening so well. We're coming now to the part of the service. It's just going to be a short part today. Normally, you'd come up and you'd get your books and all that kind of thing. We're not able to do that with all the rules and regulations that we have. But you're going to get some books. You're going to get some prizes. And Gordon is going to come up and he's going to talk us through that for the next couple of minutes.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see so many of you here this morning. Just a couple of things. The last year has been difficult for each and every one of us, not being able to come together on a Sunday morning. You've now had the chance over the past year to see your Sunday school teachers become YouTube sensations. You've each had the opportunity to get gunked and gunged. But hopefully, come August, we'll be able to come back together into the church if we continue to see the restrictions ease, and that will certainly be very positive. We've certainly been very blessed over the last year in the Sunday school teaching that we have had. And on behalf of the Kirk session, I want to thank the Sunday school teachers for their continued commitment over the past year, and for all those who aren't Sunday school teachers who have also taken part, offered themselves up to get gunked or gunged, or recorded a Sunday school message. It's certainly been very much appreciated. And I hope, children, that you've enjoyed it as well. I know some of you have been wondering when your chance is going to come, but I think most of you now have actually had it. And I thank Russell for taking his turn on it as well. And if any parents want to sign up going forward, please see us after the service. We would normally hand out the Sunday school books at this point of the service, but that's not going to be able to happen. So at the end of the service, there's a table set up in the entrance hall. If you can make your way to the table, and some of the Sunday school teachers will be there, and you will be given your book prizes, and that will be great. Hope you enjoy reading them, and it'll be great to see you back after August. I don't think we've got anybody that's actually leaving us from the Sunday school this year, so we're hanging on to everybody and maybe one or two more joining. All being well, please encourage your friends to come along. It's been great to see Jam and Connect started back up on Friday, so it'll be great to see you all, and I'm just going to have a word of prayer for you all just before we carry on with the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for each and every one of the children and young people that are gathered here this morning. That Heavenly Father, the joy in seeing them coming out to hear your word, to answer the questions that are put to them. And over this past year, all that they have learnt, Heavenly Father, and the memory verses that they have recorded, and the catechisms that they have learnt, we pray, Heavenly Father, that as they grow, that they would grow in wisdom, each one of them, that they would grow in a knowledge of you, and that they would grow, as we have heard this morning, to know and to love you, that they would ask you into their hearts, that their hearts would indeed be cleansed and that they would walk with you the rest of their life. Our prayer is that as we teach these young ones to walk in your ways, that Heavenly Father, that they would not stray from these paths, but they would walk with you each and every day. So we thank you for them, and we thank you for the service this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to share together. And we look forward, Heavenly Father, to the time when we can all be together here again. We thank you that we can sing your praise and lift up our voices to you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we part today, that as we share together as the books are given out, that these books would be a blessing for these young people. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. We're going to close the service by singing to God's praise. Mission Praise 1209. And the words are on the screen. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain. So we'll stand to sing this final praise. Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.